I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. Space is filled with a network of wormholes. You might emerge somewhere else in space, somewhere else in time.
The sky calls to us. If we do not destroy ourselves, we will one day venture to the stars.
A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rise. A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way.
The cosmos is full beyond measure.
Carl Sagan brought back to life with a little Pogo Mix. Check out pogomix.net if you like that song, and pretty much all the songs we start the podcast with is from a guy named Pogo down in Australia, which I hear he's a libertarian, so he's got kind of a special place here in the WWI podcast. Anyways, yeah, he put this mix together with Carl Sagan, and towards the end of this one, Stephen Hawking comes on, and it's kind of trippy. I kind of like it. It's long, though, so I'm going to put it in the background until Stephen Hawking comes on. Anyways, I'm starting it with Mr. Sagan, Dr. Sagan, because this was kind of an exciting week for NASA. They discovered Goldilocks solar system, I guess. So to back up a little bit, it was only 1992 where we first saw exoplanets, where we first actually saw planets other than what's in our own solar system. So it wasn't really big news that they found these planets, but what was kind of cool is that this solar system was completely different than any other. Oh, here's Stephen Hawking.
From the Big Bang to black holes, from dark matter to a possible big crunch, our image of the universe today is full of strange sounding ideas.
How lucky we are to live in this time, the first moment in human history when we are, in fact, visiting.
They really have to sample Stephen Hawking. I mean, he's got the robot voice. Can't they just, I don't know, mimic that voice and then write whatever they want him to say? That's weird, actually, when you think about it, because you could really just... And I wonder if maybe he's got like a trademark or whatever. I don't know what you would call that. Like a copyright on that sound of his electronic voice. No one can do that. But it can't be hard, right? It couldn't be hard to like put together some... you know, bullshit interview and have him say all outrageous things. And then, I don't know. So I'm actually kind of, I'm out of my vibe right now. This isn't the typical Wait What If podcast setting because I don't have anyone here. Reason being, well, there's two reasons. One, we've increased our episodes to once a week, which is a killer. I know it doesn't sound like much doing one episode per week, but you got to remember myself and pretty much every podcaster out there has a completely different life than just the podcasting. I'm a director of a clinic. I have kids. I have a wife. I have projects around the house that I got to do. And I do all the producing. I have to, you know, book all my guests and all that. So doing it once a week is really, really rough. And I'm not sure how much longer I can do it. So at this point, I'm going to be still doing it once a week. And on the off weeks, like this week, it was supposed to be a, I think, a Futurism Friday. But I'm sick, too. There's lots of upper respiratory infections going around all over the place in North Carolina. Flu is crazy. I don't think I have the flu, but I definitely have something. So I'm all hopped up in some NyQuil. And I figured I would just come on here and do some ranting and see how it would come out. And then I'm just going to hit publish because I don't care. I mean, if it sounds bad at this point, you're listening to, I don't know what episode this is, 59, 60. I guess you can skip this one and go listen to the 58 other ones that I have on here. But tonight I wanted to bring up a couple of things because I thought it was a cool week, at least for science and for the existential side of things. And one, I mean, like I said, we'll start off with that Goldilocks solar system that they found. So, you know what else I wanted to mention before I get too ahead of myself is, flu is going around and it kills like 50,000 people a year in the United States. And it makes sense. I mean, if it turns into a nasty bacterial pneumonia or something, and you're old or you're a child with like a bad illness like cystic fibrosis or something, and you get this virus, yeah, absolutely it could kill you because, you know, your body can't fight it off the way that most people can fight it off. But it made me think today, like how many times, and I don't know if I'll be able to put this into words, but so you know how people only lived like till they were 40, 100 years ago or 200 years ago. And most of it was because things that we take for granted now would kill you back then. And I'm wondering like how many times in my lifetime I've faced death had I been born 150 years earlier. And otherwise I just completely survived, if any, because I haven't had any surgeries done. I haven't had any like really amazing medicines to save my life for anything. But is there some unknown way that like maybe when I was a kid, I had the croup and it would have killed me if I was, you know, born in the 1800s? I have no idea. So what we were talking about, the seven planets that they discovered in the solar system and what they call these seven planets, the reason why they're kind of important. We've only been aware, well, we've always been aware that there's other planets out there. We just never saw them. You know, it was always one of those things. Yeah, there's probably planets all over. I mean, there are planets all over this universe. And someday we're going to be able to see them. And then 1992, we actually started seeing exoplanets, they call them, planets not in our solar system. And this one, the reason why it was cool is because there's seven planets and they're all situated in what they call the Goldilocks zone. What that basically means, I mean, think about the bed's too hard, the bed's too soft, this bed is just right. Well, all these planets are just right around this little tiny star that is also just right. If you're a physicist or something like that, you're probably rolling your eyes because I have no idea what I'm talking about. Apparently, the star that's in this solar system is kind of like low wattage. You know, think about the lights in your house and you have like the 100 watt lights and then the 60 watt. Well, this is like maybe like a 20 watt. So it's very dim. And I heard Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about it. And he said that it would be like, if you're on one of these planets, it would be like dusk or maybe sundown. So you have sunshine, but it's not, you know, totally bright like it is here. It would be always kind of just a little, I guess that kind of yellowy, orangey sort of sun. So they discover these planets. They watch them fly in front of their own individual star or their own individual sun, and they can tell what's in the atmosphere just by bouncing or looking at the way the light bounces off them. I could be wrong, but I think they're able to tell that there's oxygen in these planets, and if there's oxygen, that means there's life. So yeah, so that's kind of a cool thing. They have all these seven planets that are like temperate climate that can have water and plants and all this. And again, this takes us back to like before 1992. We knew there were other planets out there. And just as we knew there were other planets and then, you know, we finally saw one, we know that there's other planets out there that can harbor life. I mean, it just, the size of this universe and the amount of Earth-like planets that are out there, I think they say it's 100 Earth-like planets for every grain of sand in the entire world. So not just on a beach. Think about every grain of sand in the entire world. There's 100 Earth-like planets. So there's so many that there's, you know, we know there's one, right? Because we have this planet here and there's life on this planet. So the odds of there being another is up there. You know, the fact that we know that means, I don't know, I guess it's just like the icing on the cake when we finally see a planet that, you know, maybe harbors life. And I don't know if we'll be able to confirm it or not. I don't know how they would do that, but it would be pretty cool. I wonder too, when that happens, what it means to people existentially. Meaning, you know, we have a lot of religions, we have a lot of people that think clearly that this earth has been created by a being, a benevolent being. And when you find another planet so far away from us that might have the same thing going on there, what does that mean? What does that mean for the really religious people? And I guess also, what does it mean? Well, I guess if you're a theist, I guess you would call it, or a deist. If you believe that there is some sort of deity, you just don't know what kind, and you don't subscribe to a religion. And I guess that would make more sense, because then you could just be like, well, I mean, he made all these planets out there and he's doing whatever it is he's going to do with them. But I think it'll be interesting if we, and again, if we ever do just confirm life, or if we confirm there was life on Mars by finding like a fossil or something, what is that going to mean to the religions of the world? How are they going to take that? Or are they just going to be like, okay, whatever, and keep moving on? I don't know. Maybe you can let me know. Send me a tweet at Wait What If podcast. Man, I hate being sick. It's like, do you ever get that like in the back of your throat, right where your nose meets your throat, and it just kind of, it's sore, and when you talk, you can kind of feel like your uvula, or your, you know, the punching bag in the back of your throat, you can feel it kind of like moving, and it's just, and then you can sometimes feel the dripping of the horror that is slowly brewing in your sinuses. Yeah, that's how I feel right now. So what else is going on this week? CNN leaks. I thought that was kind of a, I don't know what to make of it, actually, now that I say that. Because we had WikiLeaks with Snowden, and then we had the DNC hacks, and we had a bunch of stuff in between there, right? And now CNN leaks. There's so many leaks and hacks and whistleblowers these days that it's amazing to me that people still talk freely in the political world or in the journalism world. I guess it all started, if you look at it, I guess it all started with maybe Rodney King. When, I don't think I have to explain it, but I guess if you're young, you don't realize that he was the one that was beaten severely by the LAPD, and someone caught it on videotape. And then I remember what they were saying when that happened was, wow, in this technological age, and that was VHS or whatever it was, but in this technological age, you have to consider that you're always on videotape. And now with the cloud, and the fact that we're putting all this personal information easily accessible to hackers, you know, you have to really start thinking that everything you say and everything that you do, you know, beyond the guy with the VHS 25 years ago, can be hacked. And your professional life, your social life, it can be completely destroyed. And it's only going to become a bigger and bigger problem, especially as people, you know, put more and more out there. And you see it happen. I mean, some people are just dumb and they purposely put it out there. You know, they'll purposely tweet something that you're just like, what are you thinking? Sometimes, like with humor and, you know, you're hanging around with your friends, you might say something or do something that in the moment is completely fine, because, you know, a social moment where people are hanging out, things happen and you can say things and do things that can that can't be replicated. You know, it's almost like if someone tells a story and you laugh your ass off about that story, and then you're at another party, you know, a year later, and you see your friend, you're like, hey, tell that story. And they tell it and it's kind of like not as funny. And you're like, oh, you had to be there. Same thing with jokes and stuff. When you're joking around with your friends, if you have something that's really funny and maybe edgy, and then, you know, you tweet it out and all the person sees is the words, there's no situation to comprehend whatever it is he said. And you know, they always say that sarcasm is lost in tweets and texts and stuff like that. And it's true. So I don't know. It's a weird world we live in, and it's only getting weirder. And it'll be interesting to see what the CNN leaks are. If you don't know what it is, apparently there were these people at CNN that weren't very happy with the way that journalism is going, rightly so, I feel. And they decided that they were just going to record. And again, I could be wrong, but they were going to record all these hours of like off-camera conversation. So I don't know if it's the talent that's actually talking, you know, where they get the, you know, when people are doing like mic checks and stuff and they're chatting. So I don't know if it's that, or if they actually put hidden mics everywhere and just recorded all this kind of backroom conversation. But apparently the stuff has like partisan politics in there. And yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed with the feeling. The number one thing I have is, it's not cool to record someone when they don't realize it. But if you're exposing corruption and the degradation of you know, a system that we hold dear in the United States, like journalism, at least what it was originally entailed for, maybe it should be leaked, whether it's legal or not, or whether it's ethical or not. Like the DNC hacks or the DNC email leaks. So they say that you would rather know, I'd rather know who the racists or let's say the pedophiles or someone who's got like a dark, horrible secret. It would be nice to know who they are, you know, because people could be, and you always hear about it, like someone will commit a murder or something and they'll interview a neighbor and like, oh, he was the nicest guy in the world. John Wayne Gacy, perfect example. Apparently he was a good neighbor and he was killing people and burying them in his basement. So I would rather know who those people are and I would rather them speak freely. You know, if people know they're being videotaped and they know they're being recorded all the time, now they're going to guard what they say and they don't say what they're really thinking out in public. You don't know who is the asshole who's thinking racist things or who's, you know, planning out a murder or something like that. You won't know who they are. But if you just let them be assholes, we'll know who they are and then we'll just ignore them or, you know, shun them in society. And I don't know. We got a lot to look at as you know, as we move on in society and as, you know, more and more of these leaks are going to come out. So just like this on my podcast, I let out all the truth and you know exactly who I am. And if someone hacks it, I don't care because I'm putting it out on the airwaves. Except for a show like this, I really shouldn't put it out, but I don't know. I probably won't remember doing this tomorrow. Does NyQuil do that to you? You take NyQuil, does it kind of make you black out? Because I'm really, really feeling very fuzzy here. Anyways, all this this hacking and DNC leaks and all that stuff is making me remember something I talked about with James Barrett. He's the filmmaker, writer, and he's a pro on artificial intelligence. And if you want to check him out, I interviewed him a few episodes ago. I was like number, might have been 38 or something like that. But I had this theory and I brought it up to him. I don't remember how I reacted to it, but the theory that I have is, so I know in the Bible, somewhere in the Bible, I read it actually, believe it or not. I think I had to read it for a theology class back in college. In the Bible, and I wrote the quote here. So now that I say that, I realize I have it down here in Revelations. It says, "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was open, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books." So where am I getting at here? Let's say that, Ray Kurzweil, and we talked about this last week, he says that by 2030, we're going to have nanobots. We're going to be able to take nanotechnology, which are basically molecular-sized robots that can be put in our brain and programmed to do anything. Maybe repair neurons or repair, you know, dysfunctioning synapse in our brains. Repair memory, who knows? Repair plaques that cause dementia, which would be really cool because that means we don't have to really worry about becoming that Alzheimer's or that elderly person sitting in a nursing home just kind of blabbing to ourselves. If these things can go in there and fix that, we'll have the brains of, you know, like our 20-year-old self or our 40-year-old self, even when we're old. But let's say that they could do that, and let's say they will do that. Now you have used something artificial to edit the structure of your brain. Now, if you think about that, then you start thinking about, okay, now we are not 100% organic, and can those thoughts and those memories be uploaded or downloaded into something? So let's take that for example. So now all your thoughts and everything that's ever happened to you, even things you forgot, can be uploaded or downloaded or whatever into, the cloud. Now, whether your personality, and we've talked about this a lot, we debated it a lot, goes with it. I mean, that doesn't matter anything here. What matters is your entire experience would theoretically be able to be uploaded. So now you have your entire life, your entire experience on this earth in a cloud with everyone else's. And, you know, what protections would you have on that? Because, you know, everyone has bad thoughts. You'd be a liar if you didn't say you were or you did. Whether it be, you know, you're angry at someone or, I mean, there can be, we all have them. So what if, just as they hacked the CNN leaks, what if people can soon hack every experience you've ever had and take something out of context or take something into context, you know, something that you said or did when you were like 14 years old and, you know, now you're 60 and you're totally not the same person you were 14, but it doesn't matter. They take it out and now the whole world can see. And that's kind of what I was getting at with my theory with James Barrett, that maybe maybe that passage in the Bible is prophetic, or it's a prophecy of where we're going as a society, from, you know, no technology to all this technology, and how all this technology is going to take everything we've ever done and lay it out for the world to see. And that's where the judgment will come. And it kind of makes kind of a creepy sense there. So someone will, at some point, if this is you know, comes into fruition, will be able to, I guess, judge your motives, judge your motivations for your actions, find out truly if you're a righteous person. And that's my theory anyways. That's what I think the Bible was. I think the gods or God, I think he lives outside of time. So if by some way he was able to communicate this stuff to religious people, or these lessons were able to come down for religious people, they put him in the book. And now I'm making no sense, but basically what I'm saying is, yeah, it makes sense that could happen. At one point, you know, you could say, if you're an atheist, well, I'm going to die and no one's going to know what's going on. And that's possible too. But Ray Kurzweil also says that you would be able to take the bodies of the people that are dead and, you know, I guess apply this technology to them and still be able to I guess, reanimate their experiences. Now, whether that person is going to be that person, whether that soul is there, it's, I guess you'd never know. But you'll be able to take the, you know, and it's kind of why people are freezing their heads. Ted Williams, baseball player who has his head frozen, you know, maybe at some point they'll be able to throw these nanobots in there, take all the information and recreate this person's life. And if they do, and you have dark secrets, guess who's going to know them? So I thought that was something interesting. And I haven't really looked into what the implications are. We're going back to how I started this with the CNN leaks right now. I'm sure it's going to be all over Twitter. I'm sure it's going to be all over the news. And, you know, at least it'll it'll keep our attention for a few cycles. I don't know. That's about it. That's all I really want to talk about. So it's kind of like a mini Futurism Friday updates. I have some good interviews coming up. I can't wait to do them, but it's been rough. Doing this once a week program has really kicked my ass because it's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up with them and get something out on a timely basis. I mean, if I had another producer and you know, I have John that comes on and Mike that comes on and Savannah that comes on, but it's really, really hard to do a weekly show when you're, I don't know, living an entire life on top of this podcast. But we'll see how it works out. Anyways, also we're going to be doing tonight. Mike couldn't be here because he's actually putting together his bar right now. I think it's going to be opening very soon, like very soon. He had a meeting with his employees or something like that tonight, so that'll be cool. And we're going to start doing, and for life, I can't remember it, but there's a thing called a Ben Franklin, I can't think of the name of it, but basically what it is it's like a gathering, and people get together, and you come up with a topic, and people discuss it, and they debate it. And it can be anything. It can be politics, can be art, can be sports. I guess it can be anything. And the topic will be known, and then people get together and they drink and they, you know, debate it and they talk about it. Gosh, what the heck was that called? I'm gonna Google it right now because that's really gonna bug me. Ben Franklin. You know what? I don't even know what to. I don't even know what to Google for it. Ben Franklin meetup? Meetings. Okay, here, I'll look up meetings here. Ben Franklin meetings. It's called a junto. I don't know if it's Spanish junto. It's J-U-N-T-O, a junto club. Let me see how they say to pronounce it. And they don't. Okay, so whatever. J-U-N-T-O. So we're going to start doing a junto club at Mike's bar. So that's going to be fun because we're going to have an audience. It's going to be completely live. I'm still working on how to set up a live broadcast, especially as a one-man show with a very small budget. But I am. I'm convinced I'm going to get it done, and I'm going to get it done right. So maybe we'll have live video for that. Man, my throat is killing me. So I have a cool interview coming up in a couple weeks here with Gray Winsler, G-R-A-Y-W-I-N-S-L-E-R. We're still working on topics and stuff, but he's got a YouTube channel, and I think it's just, you know, if you go on YouTube and search Gray Winsler, you'll be able to find him. But he's got a lot of really cool ideas, and you know, we don't agree on everything, but that's okay. So for the people that scream at me on Twitter and stuff because I don't 100% agree with you, but no, he's really cool. He's got a lot of things that he talks about. A lot of it's politically motivated, but some of it is really just about reflecting on society and where we are. So check him out. We're going to be working on the show. John and I are working on some things for the future, some true crime things that are always fun to do. We're going to be continuing these Futurism Fridays, I hope. And I think that's all. I think it's all I got. So drop us a line at wait, what if, man, I am just my, you know what? I feel like tomorrow I'm going to wake up and be completely miserable because right now it's just, it's really hitting. And I'm sure you want to really hear about my mucus that's now draining down the back of my throat, but it's going to suck. I can tell this weekend is really going to suck. So with that, we will see you soon. Thanks, guys.
Now it's time for new believable people, and we must do it. If we don't control insiders, this will be over and over. To lead by an any big fat love, find common ground to halt the spread of lies. And we must do it big, fat, love. Find common ground to halt the spread of lies. And any
America first, America first,
non-fatal. We want to build a much better, believable people. And we must do it non-fatal. Communication
very much higher. America first.
To lead by an any.
Insiders fighting for insiders.
Time to stop.
Insiders fighting for insiders.
More of
insiders fighting for insiders.
Time to stop.
Insiders fighting for insiders. America first.
Love the flow. 69.